Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
And from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord. Like many of you, I've been watching a little bit of football. Yesterday especially. That's all I'm going to say about that. You know, I was flipping the channels and surfing a little bit, going from game to game. And I noticed, as I'm watching, all these stadiums, for the most part, were full. And some of the stadiums were extra large and really, really full. Over 100,000 people showing up to cheer the players on the gridiron. And it occurred to me, as I'm watching those football games yesterday, that college football is a wonderful metaphor for the Christian life. I guess even pro football as well. The players are on the playing field. They're battling. They're struggling. They're surrounded by cheering fans. There's a designated time to play 60 minutes. There's an outcome. There's a goal in mind. And all of this is a picture of our life as Christians. I want you to notice in our scripture passage from Hebrews 12 that our writer begins this section of the letter by saying, therefore. Now, we didn't read chapter 11, but the therefore connects us back to chapter 11. And if you remember Hebrews, in chapter 11 especially, it's called the Hall of Fame, the Faith Hall of Fame. And in chapter 11, we have all of these heroes of the faith. And there's Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Moses, and others. And our writer says that therefore, in light of all these heroes of the faith, he says, we are surrounded by these folks. Now think of that football stadium. And in those bleachers are all the heroes of the faith. And there's Moses, section A. And there's Uncle Ed over there in section B, sitting by Abraham. And there's Noah over there in section C. And there's my grandma. And over there's King David. And there's your cousin, Merle. And all of the saints of God. All these people in the stands, we are surrounded by them. Thousands upon thousands. Millions upon millions. In fact, so many we can't even number them. And we are on the playing field of life. And we are surrounded by saints. Now, I used to think that when I read Hebrews 12, that the great cloud of witnesses was made up of all these people who are watching us and cheering for us. Well, the Bible says that they can't see us. We can't see them. And the point of what our author is saying here is that these people in the stands, the great cloud of witnesses, they are to be an encouragement to us. We look to them as examples. That's the whole point of chapter 11. The heroes of the faith are named here, and we are surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, and they are our examples. And so we are encouraged by their lives. See, that's the whole point of chapter 11, and that's the therefore of chapter 12. The people mentioned are to be examples to us as we live faith-filled lives and as we run the Christian race. Today is All Saints Sunday, and we are reminded that the saints of God are the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, those who have been saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, from all times, from all places. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob looked forward to the cross and, though imperfectly, trusted in the Lord, their Savior, the Lord Christ. We, 2,000 years after the cross, look backward to the same cross. They looked forward. They trusted in the Lord, their Savior, even as we look backward. And my friend, you are on the playing field of life. And you are surrounded, we are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, the saints of God. We who comprise the church militant on earth are surrounded by the church triumphant in heavenly glory. And together we make up the people of God. And so our author says, since we are surrounded by these folks and can find encouragement there and examples of how to live and how not to live, we are told to throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, can you imagine a football player playing that game, in addition to shoulder pads and all of those pads and all of the uniforms, can you imagine them strapping on a 100-pound weight and trying to play that game? They would not be effective. They could not play well. They could not compete. Our author says that we are to throw off and cut away everything that hinders us and trips us up. Whatever is impeding our spiritual progress, and for some of us it may be football, giving 3, 4, 5, 6 hours to a ball game and giving God maybe just a little portion of our time and energy. Whatever is impeding us as spiritual athletes, we need to let it loose, cut it loose, and throw it off. One of my favorite movies came out in the 1980s. It's called The Mission. You remember that one? Robert De Niro. And it was a great film, even though I'm not a big De Niro fan, but it was a great film. And it's a story of a man in the 18th century. It's a story of some Jesuit priests who brought Christianity to the Indians of South America. And one of the main characters in the movie is a slave trader who had murdered his brother. And as he sits rotting in a prison, a priest comes to visit him and offers him a way out. To make a long story short, the slave trader, as part of his penance, has his worldly belongings put in a big net, and it's tied to his back. And over the next few days and weeks, he's carrying this net, all of his belongings on his back, and he's climbing mountains, and he's crossing rivers, and he's experiencing all kinds of hardships as he goes to the very Indians he used to enslave and terrorize. And in a powerful scene, as he's there facing the Indians that he used to enslave, one of the Indians approaches him with a knife and he thinks it's over, my life is over. And the Indian cuts away the net with all his earthly possessions and pushes them over the waterfall. The man is set free. It's a powerful scene as he begins to weep, as he repents of his sins, as he experiences God's forgiveness, as his life is changed by the grace of God. And every time I watch that scene, I wonder, what needs to be cut away in my life? What might need to be cut loose from our lives and thrown over the cliff? What is impeding us from making progress in the Christian life? Now our scripture says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God has marked out a race for you. You are a spiritual athlete, whether you realize it or not. It's time to get in shape. It's time to be in the Word of God. It's time to be putting on spiritual muscle. It's time to throw off everything that would hinder us from competing and running the race well. And so our scripture says, let's throw off all of that stuff. First of all, Let's look to the great examples that God has provided for us to live out our lives. The great cloud of witnesses. Second, let's cut off and be done with all of the sin that would hinder us and keep us from competing well and running the race. And third, let me say, determine to run the race. You are running a race. And one of the dangers of the Christian life is when we stop running, when we stop moving, when we stop moving ahead. Sometimes we get real comfortable and we stand still and we don't progress and advance. I've shared with you my vision for this church. My pastoral vision is that every member of First Presbyterian Church of Jacksonville would be involved in a Sunday school class or in a weekly home fellowship group. Every single member growing in grace in the context of our church. That's an important part of our discipleship as we grow in grace. You see, the issue is not how fast we run. The issue is how well we finish. We want to finish strong. We are running this race, and it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We see the finish line down there, up yonder, and we want to run the race well, and we want to finish strong. I once read a book about three famous preachers. You'll know one of them. The three preachers were Chuck Templeton, Byron Clifford, and Billy Graham. We're all familiar with Billy Graham. But years ago, Templeton and Clifford were better known preachers. They had larger crowds than Billy Graham. Many thought Clifford was the most gifted preacher of his generation. But in only a few short years, Templeton, the preacher, he left the ministry. He said later he no longer believed in the claims of Jesus. And by 1954, Clifford lost his family, his ministry, his health, and he died as an alcoholic at the age of 35. Templeton and Clifford did not run the race well. They did not finish strong. Our text speaks of persevering and not giving up. My friend, don't give up. You're running a race, and there are going to be obstacles, and sometimes the race is hard. Oftentimes life hurts, and life is hard. But run the race with perseverance. I got to thinking a while back, Noah's Ark, and all the animals that made their way to the ark. Think about this. There's that little old snail, and they're the little old slugs. They move real slowly. When all the other animals were on board, there's the snail, there's the slug. By perseverance, the snail made the ark. Don't give up. Persevere. Hang in there. How do we do that? How can we do that? Our author says, by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Therein is the key. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. You can't see the beautiful stained glass of Jesus, but I'm looking at it right now. And it's of Jesus in his ascended state, ascending to heaven. And it's a glorious picture. And my eyes are fixed on Jesus, though I see you outside here peripherally. And that's how it is as we live our lives. We see the world with peripheral vision, but our focus is on Christ. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And the idea here in our text is not an occasional glance and then look away, but keep our eyes, the eyes of our heart, fixed and focused on the Lord. Not only when we're in trouble, but all day through. There's a wonderful children's song. I don't think we've sung it here since I've been here. But it says, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. And by the way, notice that our text uses the personal name of Jesus. I believe that's not by accident. The Lord on whom we are focused is a personal Lord. The author didn't say, fix your eyes on the great transcendent architect of the universe, on that faraway deity up there, but fix your eyes on Jesus, who is God in human flesh. Fix your eyes on the personal Lord who came down here for you and for me. And understand this, as you fix your eyes on Jesus, do you know the Lord's eyes are fixed on you? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. My friend, that means while your eyes are fixed on the Lord, the Lord's eyes are fixed on you. He sees it all. He knows it all, good, bad, and otherwise. His eyes are fixed on us. That's an astounding truth. And so as we run the Christian race, as we are surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Deborah, Miriam, Ruth, Peter, Paul, Luke, Uncle Ed, my grandma Jean, your loved ones, those whom we've named, who've died in the faith, we are surrounded by them, and we remember their lives, and we look to the examples of their lives as encouragement. Not so much that they're cheering us on, for they're fixed on the Lord in heavenly glory. They're not focused on you and me. They're caught up in glory, lost in wonder, love, and praise. But we remember their lives, and we follow the good examples of their lives, for we are surrounded by saints. And in the words of the chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. My friend, you are an athlete. We are on the playing field of life. We have an allotted time to run the race. The Bible says, for it is appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. And all the days ordained for us were written in God's book before one of them came to be. There is a time to be born and a time to die. And so we are running the race. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who went to the cross, knowing that there was joy set before him. There can be joy in our journey as we run this race, and there should be joy. And as we run the race, remember that there are people in the bleachers who have run before you and me, who've run well and finished strong. Let's look to the example of their lives and be encouraged. And oh yes, while we're doing that, let's cut away and throw off everything that would hinder us on the Christian journey. Get rid of it if it doesn't need to be there. We are in a race, a grace race. So don't stop. Don't look back. Keep advancing. Keep moving forward from glory to glory with your eyes fixed on the Lord. And remember, you're not alone. We are running together. We are on the playing field together. When one stumbles and falls, we pick him up, or we pick her up, and we are about this together, knowing that Jesus is the author and the perfecter. That which he began, he will complete. He will give us strength to run that race. He will give us grace upon grace. For what he starts, he always finishes. And if we find ourselves tiring along the way, he is there to help us. In fact, Jesus said he will never leave nor forsake us. I want to encourage you today, my friend, my brother and sister in the Lord, to see yourself as an athlete. Some of you are in pretty good shape. Some of you, well, there's work to do. We are running this race together. Let's run well and let's finish strong, for we are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, and we've thrown off those hindering weights, and we are running this race, the grace race, with our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. So run well, my friend. Run well. Finish strong. The end is in sight. The goal is right down the road there, and we are headed home to join the great cloud of witnesses. To that, would you say, amen? So be it. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, at this very moment, we are surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, those who have died in the faith in the Lord and who've gone on to glory ahead of us. We thank you for the good examples of their lives. And Lord, we are determined, as our eyes are fixed upon thee, as your eyes are fixed upon us, we are determined to run the grace race well. And Lord, we want to finish strong. Thank you for the resources. Thank you, Lord, that when we tire, you are there. Thank you that when we are thirsty, you renew us. Thank you, Lord God, that you finish what you started. And Lord, it's all about grace. And we are running together. And for that, we say praise the Lord. And thank you for the goal. Thank you for our heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. And for all that awaits us at the finish line. In the precious name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, the Lord has various means of grace. There is strength for the journey, and one of the ways we are strengthened is right here before us. This is food for spiritual athletes, for the people of God. We are running the race, but sometimes we get hungry and thirsty. As we partake of the bread and the cup today, know that you are partaking of grace, that the Lord is here to strengthen you and me. The bread is not his body, the juice is not his literal blood, but we remember the body and blood given up on the cross for us, and somehow, some way, in a way I don't understand, God's grace is here, and this meal is spiritual nourishment. So all who believe in Christ are welcome, whether you are Presbyterian or not. If you are a believer in the Lord Christ, believing that he died for your sins, that he rose from the grave for you, you are welcome to partake today. The Bible says before we eat the bread and drink the cup, we should examine ourselves. So let's bow before the Lord and take a few moments. And if there's anything we need to confess or give up or just throw over the cliff, let's do that now. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we come as weary runners, weary athletes in need of refreshment and nourishment for body and soul. Oh God, by your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, may you now set apart these elements from all common and ordinary use. May they become for us spiritually the body and blood of our Lord as we remember his death upon the cross, as he died for sinners such as us. Today we remember you, O Lord Jesus. Our eyes are fixed upon you, and we are ready to be strengthened and nourished by your grace here in this supper of the Lord. We give you thanks and praise for your presence and for all that you're about to accomplish in us and through us. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Bible records that on the night our Lord Christ was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. All of you drink it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." As is our custom here at First Church, we invite you to come forward in just a few moments to receive the bread and then to dip it into the cup. I invite the elders, the servers right now, if you will come forward, and we will serve you in just a few moments. Let us remember Christ who died for our sins. The servers move to various stations around the sanctuary. We invite you, as you are ready, to come to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper.
before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall.
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
You have been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.